Alrighty, so, like I was saying, Luke did a survey. The second topic that was the highest rated was confidence. So today, that's what we're going to be talking about. I did a Google search, kind of like Luke did with anxiety, and it says, confidence as defined by the Googles is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. And to that, I would refer you probably to Psalms 118, verse 8. And it says, which I can write on the board, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalms 118, verse 8. These are verses that I will challenge you to highlight or memorize or maybe just tuck away as tools for you to use if and or when you struggle with confidence. It might not be something that any of you struggle with right now, but it could be something that comes up. Another definition, as defined by Google, is a feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. So a feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's abilities or qualities. It's where one, I would say, is confident that they're able to do something. And for this, I would direct you or point you towards Philippians 4:13. Does anybody know this verse? Is that right? Yeah. Yes. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Being confident isn't a bad thing. It can be a good thing if it's coming from a good place. Being overly confident is also, I could say, not a bad thing, but it can be a bad thing if you're, you know, arrogant or cocky or thinking too highly of yourself. A lot of things that it says that teens your age or kids your age struggle with when it comes in relation to confidence, coincidentally, are the same things that teens today feel anxious about. I guess I could say that correlates. If you're feeling anxious about something, you're probably not confident in your ability to do it, or you're not confident in relying on someone else to do it. Those things are a lot of things that Luke touched on or at least brought up last week, and some of them are things that we're going to be going over when we go through this series. But like body image, academic performance, social interactions, social media, family dynamics, sports performance, and relationships. Body image is not being confident in yourself, your body, the way you look. Obviously, if you're not confident, it can make you feel anxious. And academic performance is, you all are in school. Some of you are getting later in years. Some of you are in junior high. Grades are starting to matter. So you guys maybe aren't as confident in your ability to perform in classes the way that you feel like your peers want you to. Social interactions, not being confident enough to deal with certain situations, maybe bullying, vaping, peer pressure, stuff like that. Social media, you could, you know, not be confident. A lot of what you see on social media, no one posts the bad on social media most of the time. It's all the good. All the, look what I'm doing, I'm here for vacation, or I'm doing this, or I just got this. No one's ever just like, you know, on the side of the road, a flat tire, cars broke down, room's a mess, grounded for a week. I'm just saying. That's all people post. Well, then you probably should quit following those Debbie Downers then. When I was on social media, all I saw was just the people that wanted to brag or flaunt what they had going on. No one ever had, it just seemed like no one ever had problems. Maybe that's changed. I think that it's toxic, so I try to stay away from it. But another area where teens and kids might struggle with confidence is family dynamics. Maybe God forbid, like somebody, you live in a home where you're berated by a sibling or a family member, and they're always putting you down, and maybe they're making you feel less confident about yourself. It's a real life struggle. So sports performance, I mean, those are not just sports, any activity, band, if you're in a sport, you know, feeling inadequate in that area, not like you didn't live up or miss a goal, or you do something and you feel like you let your team down, it can hurt your confidence and help you to, or cause you to struggle in that area. And then relationships. Some of you might be in the point or season of life where you're talking to a boy or girl, or wanting to talk to a boy or girl, and you struggle with confidence in that area, and or friends, making new friends, stuff like that. So today, we're just going to look at some ways that we can build up and or strengthen our confidence in the Lord, or in the Bible. Today we're going to be reading in Nehemiah. There's
point. Bible.
Yeah, if you don't have a Bible, grab one, please. Por favor, bae. Or yeah, we can get all, bust them all out. Here's one up here. I got one up here as well. Who else needs one? Everybody got one? You need one, bud? Got one? Oh, you got one. Good. All right. We are going to be in Nehemiah. Plenty of stories I feel like I could have chose to teach on this topic out of, and I went with Nehemiah. Can any of you think of other stories that maybe exhort or display confidence?
David.
I mean, yeah, we're watching the series on David. Any others? Huh?
Daniel.
Man, you guys aren't really interacting. Are we also looking for Nehemiah? It's right behind Ezra. But if you've gone to Psalms and Proverbs, you've gone too far. Towards the front. If you get there and you have one of the church Bibles, shout out the number, the page number.
710.
710? 710. Bring me in chapter 1. Yeah. All right. We're going to be going from through Nehemiah. We're going to start in chapter 1, and we're going to go through chapter 6. We're going to read some sections of it, and then we're going to summarize some sections of it to try to get to what I'm trying to show here. Yes. I'm just going to read the entire first chapter of Nehemiah and just kind of set things up. Luke just taught over this a couple months ago, so this story should be familiar to most, if not all of you. But here we go. We're going to jump into chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakali, and it came to pass in the month of Cheslu, in the 20th year, and I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and a certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. You guys remember Luke talking about the remnant, which is like the Jews that got out after Babylonian captivity. This is who he's referring to. We learned he talked some on the wall of Jerusalem and Nehemiah going to build it. So the gates were burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, and thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, that the word, or thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by the great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee that thy servant this day, and grant him from the mercy of the sight, grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So at the very last thing that he says is, for I am the king's cupbearer. And then right before that he says, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of the man. Nehemiah holds a high position in the king's court. I guess he's the cupbearer. He's the person that brings wine or whatever to the king. He makes sure that it's good. Helps him keep him from getting poisoned. Life for Nehemiah is probably pretty good. He probably has food and clothes and sleeping quarters, you know. And as far as a servant is concerned, things are probably pretty good. And you can see here towards the beginning of this chapter that when he hears about the things that are going on in Jerusalem, and that his people are doing, the walls are torn down, the gates are on fire, that the first thing that he does is he mourns and he goes into prayer and he starts praying to God. And then at the end, he's praying about all the things, the afflictions and everything that the people have gone through. So it's a problem that's heavy on his heart. And he's praying that thy servant this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man. So we're going to see what he decides to do in the next chapter. Oftentimes, I think I should read the next chapter and then go. We're going to read it in chapter 2 and then I'll get to my next point. We're not going to read all of chapter 2, just a little bit. We'll probably read through verse 6. So, chapter 1, we find out, he hears about what's going on in Jerusalem, to the remnant, the people that are left, the walls of Jerusalem are down, the gates are on fire, he's mourning, he's sad, he's praying to God, and then he finishes off that chapter by saying he's the cupbearer. So we know he holds a good position, he works under the king of the Persian Empire. So it says, and it came to pass in the month Nisan, and in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not before time said in his presence, now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. So here's Nehemiah. I don't know if they're sitting on the throne. I don't know if they're just eating dinner at the table. He says that his wife is with him. I picture him bringing him something to drink, you know, after he's made sure that it was safe. And the king sees him. He sees that he's down on, you know, not really down, not really feeling good. So the king asks him, you know, what's wrong with you? Why are you sad? And Nehemiah has the confidence to say to the king, like, you know, knowing his position, knowing everything about him, that he's sad because his people are dealing with affliction, that his... the place of my father's sepulchres lieth in waste. The gates thereof are consumed with fire. So the point I'm trying to make right now is oftentimes we let our position, our position at school, oftentimes we let that position get in the way of us, like, doing what we know is right or serving the Lord. Maybe you're worried about what someone else is going to say or worried about what someone else is going to think if, you know, you're being one of those Jesus kids, you know, and it might cause you to lack confidence. And Nehemiah didn't do that. He didn't shy away from his confidence in the Lord. You know, it says once he hears about this, the first thing he does is he starts to pray. The one way that we can build and strengthen our confidence is to seek the Lord in prayer. The first thing that Nehemiah does is he goes to the Lord in prayer. And then he asks the Lord for the confidence to approach the king, and he asks for mercy. He doesn't really necessarily say the words, but he says, "I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man." He goes to the Lord in prayer, and he asks him to grant him mercy in the sight of the king, Artaxerxes, who could have killed him. He could have fired him from his position, locked him up in jail for even asking to go and do the things for his people. So, in chapter 2, we see the scene where he's, you know, presenting the wine to the king, and he asks for permission, and then the chapter goes on, we didn't read into it, but I'll summarize it for the sake of time. The king grants him permission, and not only does he grant Nehemiah permission to go and build the walls, the king funds everything. He gives him the wood and the lumber. He grants him right of passage across the country because they're in enemy territory. So here's Nehemiah, a Jew, going back to Jerusalem across with an enemy territory, and the king gives him all of this. So if we put our confidence in the Lord, if we seek him in prayer and we put our confidence in him, oftentimes he will answer that call in ways that we couldn't even imagine. Nehemiah just had a heavy feeling on his heart that he wanted to go back and fix the land that he came from. So he seeked the Lord in prayer, asked him for the strength and the confidence to do that. And God provided in ways that I'm sure Nehemiah probably didn't even expect. I'm sure he didn't expect Artaxerxes to give him all of the funding and all of this rite of passage just above and beyond what he even thought he would have gotten. The story continues on. We go into chapter 3, and it's talking about all the people and the roles that they played in building the wall, to every detail. So we're not going to read anything in chapter 3, but I do want to look at just verse 5 real quick. So chapter 3, verse 5. And it says, "And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord." It's talking about, it says, "Not the nobles put their neck out for the work of their Lord." The point I want to make with this is don't ever be too good to stick your neck out for God's work. Don't ever think that you're too good to do what God's asking you to do. That, you know, you go to church every, you know, Wednesday and Sunday, so you don't need to help in this area, or you don't need to help in this area. I would say that's overconfidence in the role that you play, I guess. We all serve the high, mighty God. So don't ever think that your position or where you're at, you're too good to do what God is asking you to do. So the second thing that I want to say that we can do to strengthen and build our confidence is when the Lord is calling you to do something, when God is asking you to do something, Nehemiah didn't just sit back and keep his nice and comfortable position under the king. He got up and he went. He asked the king, and then he got up and he went, and he got to work. He went to his people. He organized all the people to help start preparing repairing the wall. So God asked him to, you know, something was heavy on his heart. He was seek the Lord in prayer, and then he got up and he went. So in order for us to have confidence, you know, we got to seek the Lord. And then when God is calling us to do something, or when something is heavy on our heart and we've went to him in prayer, then we actually need to get up and do. We need to act upon those things. God doesn't want ability. God wants availability. So the best thing that you can do is just be available. You don't have to maybe be the best in your area. You just got to be available to go and do those things. Chapter 4 and 5. When you start doing work for the Lord, the adversary sees that, and then the enemy is going to try to, he's going to try to throw stumbling blocks in your way. So in chapter 4, I'll just read verse 1, and then we'll skip on down to verses 7 and 8. But Nehemiah's starting the work, they're starting to build the wall. The enemy sees that they're building the wall, and then this is what we see. But it came to pass, chapter 4, verse 1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. So they start to mock the Jews because of what they're doing. They're intimidated or scared of what they're doing. And then in verse 7 it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, that then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. And then in chapter 5, they find out that the walls are being built, the work of the Lord is being done, and the adversary, just like he always does, he starts to attack them. It says that the Jews were mocked. It says that they all conspired against them, all together, to fight against Jerusalem and to try to hinder it, to stop the progress of the wall being built. When you're doing things for the Lord, he's going to throw every stumbling block that he can in your way. He's going to try to beat your confidence down in every way that he can. In chapter 5, a lot of the persecution that the Jews are experiencing, like the adversary is still attacking, a lot of the persecution that they're experiencing is from their own kind. They're being taxed heavily, and Jews are poor, and they don't have a lot, so they're mortgaging their like life savings and everything, and selling themselves pretty much into slavery to other Jews so that they can make a living. Like, they don't have a lot, so they go to people that should be their friends, you know, or their kin or whatever, and they're buying them into slavery so that they can make ends meet. So when the adversary sees the work of the Lord being done, he's going to attack, fighting. So when we gain confidence in what God is asking us to do, when we seek him in prayer to guide and direct our ways, like what Nehemiah and the Jews are doing right here, and when we step out and start to walk and work for the Lord, the adversary is going to attack us. He's going to try to beat down our confidence in every way that he can. We're going to go to chapter 6 and see, kind of wrap up to where I'm going. I call it like the final attack. In chapter 6, we're going to read through... There's a lot. We're getting close on time. We got a couple of minutes. We're going to read to verse 16. And I'll read. Eli, where are we at? What? Close. Nehemiah 6, verse 1. We're going to read to verse 16. Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. So they see that the work's being done, and they reach out to him, and they're like, hey, let's meet. But they thought to do mischief. They were trying to harm him. And I sent a message unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Nehemiah's like, no, I'm not going to come visit you guys. Like, I'm doing something great right now. I want to finish what I'm doing. Why would I stop what I'm doing to come and meet with you guys? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered unto them, I answered them after the same manner. Every time they reach out to him, same thing. I'm not going to meet with you guys. I'm busy. I'm doing what I'm asked to do or what I need to do. So they sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saying, or saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, and that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, and that it not be done now thereof, O God, strengthen my hands. So he refuses to meet him four times. On the fifth time, they send this guy to him. He's got notes that are just spreading lies and rumors about what the Jews are doing and why they're doing it. So in verse 10, Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, and the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yeah, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee, and who is there that being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced his prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and to do so and sin, and that they might have matter of evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Nodiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day, and or 25th day of the month, Elul, in the 52 days. And it came to pass that when all the enemies had heard thereof, and all these things, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. And that's where I'll stop, and I'll kind of make my last point. These guys, he's doing the work of the Lord. The closer he gets to finishing the project, these guys try to attack his character. They try to attack everything. They're spreading rumors about him. They're spreading lies. They try to deceive him into doing, to stopping what he's doing. The devil, or the adversary, he's going to do whatever he can. He's going to do dirty, wicked, crazy, cruel stuff to try to get you off track. He's going to do whatever he can to try to knock your confidence down, whatever that situation may be. Obviously, the example and the illustration we're using today is him building this wall. Nehemiah... So, the last thing that we can do to strengthen our confidence in the Lord is just to stand fast. To stand strong in our faith, like Nehemiah did. Nehemiah could have chose to stop building the wall, like he says. He could have went out. He could have went and defended his reputation. He could have said, all these things you're saying about me are lies. And the work that he was doing for the Lord would have ceased. And the adversary, the enemy, these guys would have got what they wanted. They would have got him to stop doing what he was done. And then, as you see here in chapter, or in verse 16, 15 and 16, it says that the wall was finished. It took him 52 days to finish the wall. And it says in verse 16, and it came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all of the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. When the enemy sees that what you're doing is for the Lord, and what you're doing is good in the Lord, they will lose confidence. These guys, it says that they were much cast down in their own eyes. Like, they saw what Nehemiah was doing. They saw that the walls were built, and it ruined their confidence. Before, they're saying all these things, they're beating them up, they're attacking them in every way. Yeah, but then once they see that Nehemiah had finished the project, and that his work was obviously of the Lord, their confidence was beaten up. God expects He expects us to do what is possible, but we have to rely on God to do the impossible. So when you're lagging in confidence, or struggling with confidence, maybe you're not right now, it's good to look back on this story and other stories, but just make sure that you're, you know, first seeking the Lord in prayer for whatever it is that you're struggling with. And then not only, you can't just pray to God and ask Him to do something for you or to help you in an area. You actively have to be able to go and do that. You have to get up, get on your feet, and actually go do what you're praying for God to help you with. And then as you're doing all this, like, you have to stand strong. Know that, like, if there's a situation that you're struggling with, or even when it comes to anxiety, you're feeling anxious about it, or you're lacking confidence about it, the adversary is going to do whatever he can to get in your way, to knock you off the tracks. If you're wanting to try out for cheerleading or something, and you're afraid to go to tryouts, and then you get there, maybe you're going to stumble, maybe you're going to fall, maybe you don't make the team. But if you're seeking God and you're praying about that, for strength in that area, like He did for Nehemiah, God can provide for you, or make the outcome be something greater than even what you expected. Confidence has, so the 3 points that I made was just seek the Lord in prayer, be willing to go and walk, and when after doing so, you know, don't just sit down and be lethargic on it. Be willing to go and do like Nehemiah. And then the last thing that we can do is just stand strong in your faith. If you're saved, and you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then stand fast, stand strong in that, and continue to go on. So I just have 2 more memory verses that I would like to share with you guys that you can highlight or try to memorize and keep for yourself. Somebody turned to Isaiah 41:10, and then somebody turned to Psalms 27. If you can. And when you get there, just like raise your hand, and I'm going to write these on the board.
Psalms 27, what?
Psalms 27, read verses 1 through 3. Is that right?
Psalms.
Is it spelled right?
Hear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my right hand.
That's just a good verse. For when you're dealing with something or struggling, to encourage you and to help give you confidence. Who's that? Psalms 27. Eli, you want to read it nice and loud? This is a Psalm of David.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Of whom I shall be afraid? Then when the wicked even mine enemies. My Though the host should and if it ensue, my heart shall not be. The war should I write against me, and the struggle I be confident.
And in this I will be confident. The Lord is his light. He's our light. It says, even though a host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. The Lord is my light. Does somebody want to pray us out, and then we can get in? I mean, we've got to get to service. So, does anybody want to pray? Bold? Anybody? Anybody confident enough to pray? See what I did there? Yeah? Go ahead.
Really bothered me today. Thank you for the lesson that we have confidence. Lord, just hope that people just learn something that serves. We're moved for Brian, and they always succeed. They're very good for the USC team. We're good at putting